Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jimmy Floyd in for Brian Lehrer, and our next story is a bit of a mystery. Throughout New York State, it seems, local governments are trying to figure out just who is responsible for the upkeep of thousands of foreclosed residential properties. These properties, you see, can get run down. They pose a risk to public safety. But thanks to the complicated world of mortgage-backed securities and mortgage servicers, it can be almost impossible to find out who actually is responsible for these properties. Never fear. We've got just the right man for the job. WNYC's Bob Henley is on the case, and he joins me now in our New York studio. So, Bob, in our last segment, we were talking macroeconomics. Now we're going to talk about foreclosure, and we talk a lot about that in America these days. But generally, we talk about foreclosure in terms of the numbers, right? And this story brings us face-to-face with the reality of the crisis. It's really the story of a single Throgs Neck foreclosure. What's the address, and how did it come to the attention of authorities?
Well, first, let's give some national numbers, because I think that's it. Like, we'll talk about the fact that Goldman Sachs estimates, according to eForeclosure magazine, there's over 3 million vacant and non-foreclosed and foreclosed houses in the United States. Other respected surveys put it at 1.5 million to 2.45 million. It's estimated that the presence of a vacant home in your neighborhood can decline your property values anywhere between 3 and 15%. About 5 million households in America are in a stressed category where they're having trouble. Around 28, 29% are holding a mortgage that is actually underwater. That is to say, the value of the underlying property is worth less than the mortgage. So we were just, like we do here, working general assignment last April, 2321 Prospect Avenue in the Bronx caught fire. A 12-year-old and his parents perished. We dug in to look at, like, who owned it, and that's when we found out that the owner of record, Domingo Sedano, had his lawyer say stepped away 4 years ago. The bank that drove the foreclosure was Bank of New York of Mellon, says, hey, we're the trustees for the mortgage-backed security investors. Here's a number for VeriQuest, which is owned by a hedge fund in Texas. And I called them, and they said, oh, we're not involved with property maintenance, but the records show they paid the property tax. So in essence, nobody owns it.
Now, why was this little boy... these people died in this fire.
Right.
Why were they in this building?
Well, the thing is that when you have scarcity in terms of housing, you have a situation that's roughly around, according to Senator Klein, who was really a pioneer in the legislation here back in 2009, he had an experience where he was doing constituent work and went out to a house in Throgs Neck where he had heard there was kind of drug activity. As it turned out, it was one of these foreclosures where a drug gang had gotten in there and basically just squatted on the property and took possession of it. That's when he came up with the idea of this, what was considered at the time, landmark legislation to require at the point of foreclosure banks to maintain these properties as if they owned them, which they do, just like any other residential property owner. Because what's happening in America, and this has not been addressed by the Obama administration or the Republicans, is the general slide in property values that we've seen across the country. And as long as that continues, we're going to still be in this problem.
Well, is this the Klein's law that you write about?
Right. And what happened in this law, the idea was being that local authorities would provide notice to the foreclosing party, and then after a certain period of time, would be able to go in and make the repairs and then bill the bank. Some jurisdictions, like up in Clarkstown, did things like this. They saw properties that were unkempt where there was, debris, and these were, basically derelict properties. They stepped up, used the back pressure of this law, and then billed the banks, had the Parks Department come and mow the lawn. The problem is that this is happening across the United States, and each jurisdiction deals with it differently, and some of them don't deal with it at all.
Well, what's the story with 2321 Prospect today, just
well,
to use that
it is,
one example?
When you go there, it is a... there's garbage all over the sidewalk. It is padlocked. There's a scaffolding in the front. It is hung up in, back and forth about who's responsible for it. Right now, you can't. There's so much fire damage to it. It was also illegally subdivided. So that's the other thing. And then, to be fair, the Department of Buildings in New York City was proactive. Here's the sad part. They had gone to this building.
I was going to ask about
10 times
that.
Before the fire, acting on complaints. But under, as counselor, you understand this, under the Fourth Amendment, you just can't go and barge into a place. So the problem is that, at least from the city standpoint, Klein's law doesn't go far enough to give the oomph to local inspectors to go in and do the right thing.
But it is designed to cut through the red tape. I mean, that is the idea, to cut through the red tape of the mortgage servicer who says we're not responsible, and the foreclosing bank who says we're not responsible, and the last title holder who's disappeared case and in many others. So somebody has to eventually claim title.
Well, and what's happening now is that this is actually, believe it or not, part of the broader discussion that's happening with the banks. As you know, the big banks, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citibank, all of them, Citicorp, are in this big discussion about a universal settlement for issues resolving the foreclosure crisis, where there's been allegations, some of them fairly well substantiated, that they did things like robo-signing, where they fraudulently used forgery to attest that they filed certain documents like titles they didn't really do, all to expedite the process of creating these mortgage-backed securities. Well, there's a talk of a universal settlement, if you will, between all the attorney generals in the state and all the regulators. And right now, like for Bank of America, this is really a critical discussion because they're having a tough time, and they inherited all the countrywide mortgages, which are rife with these difficult practices. Now, we're in this difficult situation where Attorney General Schneiderman and even Sean Donovan, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, are trying to use this last chance to get the banks to step up in a big way to deal with some of these issues, whether it be helping people with the principal. In other words, the bank takes a haircut because they say to the mortgage holder who still has a job, listen, we understand property values slip because of our excesses. We're going to cut you some slack. We'll reduce the principal, and maybe a code of conduct to step up with how you do deal with these foreclosed properties that banks are holding.
Now, I know you gave us the national numbers. Maybe I missed it, but in our listening area.
Gosh, that'd be hard. New York City, there's 2,000.
2,000.
Right.
Unbelievable. And the 2,000 that need attention, how many with serious violations?
Well,
there might be a danger.
Well, Senator Klein has a really dynamite staff, and they went and actually took the Department of Building list of violations and found several that had, like, multiple violations. Now, the Department of Buildings is trying to be proactive, but the question here is it's on such a scale that we really have to look anew at it. And right now, the Comptroller of the State of New York, Tom DiNapoli, is actually doing a statewide survey. Because this is a major problem for local governments. Because how do local governments sustain themselves, Jamie? Property taxes. What are property taxes based on? Property values. So we're not going to stop this economic unraveling unless we stop the bleeding in property values.
Quite amazing. And I'm going to point people to your piece on this in just a moment. In fact, I'll do it right now. It's called What Happens When No One Wants to Own a Place. I mean, I just love when we come up with a headline that just says it, calls it like it is. It's just unbelievable. No one wants to own a place. And it's on WNYC.org. Now, I can't let you go, though. I have to ask you about the Port Authority, because there are hearings today. There's this big fare hike happening, hearings today. And we talked last week about veto power, because the governors in each state have veto power, which just amazes
me. Under the terms of the 1920-some-odd compact, which was approved by Congress, both the governor of New Jersey and New York,
Christine Cuomo,
can actually veto the minutes, which is the formal way they stop whatever action they don't approve of. And there's precedent for this. And both of them sent out a joint communique talking about regionally working together, really pushing back on the Port Authority's plans for tolls and bridge hikes.
Pushing back. But,
yes.
But how realistic is it to think that they would, in fact, either of them, use their veto power in this case, if ever?
I think
these two strong-minded.
It may buy them time. There was some very smart reporting in the Wall Street Journal that points out that the rise in interest rates that are happening and the downgrading of the U.S. debt by Standard & Poor's really was part of the back pressure. There's a lot of moving parts here. The World Trade Center was on the deck of the agenda of the Port Authority. It's a national priority, but it's going to be tough to complete it. So there's a lot of behind-the-scenes maneuvering to try to get the Port Authority moving forward, but it's critical to the region.
And is there, in fact, communication between the staffs of Cuomo and Christie, or do they work independently on this issue?
Well, you have to understand, it's kind of like feudalism. Each governor right. puts their people on the inside. I'm inside the Port Authority for Cuomo and for Christie. So they're always talking. That's how the political class works.
Oh, my. For better or for worse. All right. So much more to talk about, Bob, but we will leave it there. Again, to read more about his story on the foreclosure crisis and specifically what happens when no one wants to own a place. I just love it. You can read that at WNYC.org. WNYC senior reporter Bob Henley joined me here in our New York studios. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Jamie.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. Up next, what if the government turned off your Twitter? It could happen, you know. Stay tuned if you want to hear more.